Alleluia.
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. Mark.
Glory to you, Lord.
Jesus said to the crowds, "This is how it is with the kingdom of God. It is as if a man were to scatter seed on the land, and would sleep and rise night and day, and the seed would sprout and grow, he knows not how. Of its own accord, the land yields fruit, first the blade, then the ear, then the full grain of the ear. And when the grain is ripe, he wields a sickle at once, for the harvest has come." He said, "To what shall we compare the kingdom of God? What parable can we use for it? It's like a mustard seed that when it is sown in the ground is the smallest of all the seeds on the earth. But once it is sown, it springs up and becomes the largest of plants and puts forth large branches so that the birds of the sky can dwell in its shade." With many such parables, Jesus spoke the word to them as they were able to understand it. Without parables, he did not speak to them, but to his own disciples, he explained everything in private. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Fourth chapter of St. Mark's Gospel contains the parables of the kingdom. And we're able to ponder a twofold reality. First, the objective reality of the kingdom that Christ came as king to bring into the world. But then, the corresponding reality, how that kingdom grows through faithful receptivity and response. So on Wednesday, we heard the parable of the sower and the seed, and we were able to examine that fruitful, that rich and good soil that bears fruit 30, 60, and 100-fold. Faith grows when we recognize its incredible power that it's got within to change our life in that many ways. Yesterday we heard about how the faith isn't supposed to be hidden. It's supposed to be put as a lamp. It's supposed to help illumine. And that the more we use faith, it's like exercise and muscles, the greater it will grow. But if we bury it and take it for granted and don't exercise it, even the little faith that we have will disappear. So faith is something that constantly needs to be exercised. Then we come today, where Jesus gives us two parables precisely about the explosive growth of the faith in response to the kingdom. We see one about this man scattering seed on the land, and it grows at night, the farmer knows not how. It shows that the growth in faith is mainly God's work. Yes, it is likewise our work in receiving and responding to it. But that God wills it to grow, and it contains within the power to grow, provided that, again, we just open ourselves up to the sunshine that it needs, to the water that it needs, to the good soil that it needs, being aware of the stubbornness or the superficiality or the worldly cares and anxieties that can choke that growth, as Jesus described to us on Wednesday. And the second image he gives is that of the mustard seed, that even if it seems really small, it's got the ability to be enormous. It's got the power within really to grow. That when the Lord implants the seed for example, at baptism, that it's got the capacity to make us not just a saint, but a great saint who may one day have masses celebrated in this very convent. That's the power of the seed. In the first reading, we get to one of the most important passages in the letter to the Hebrews. Pope Benedict pondered it at length in Spe Salvi, his encyclical on Christian hope, because it describes the setting in which our faith grows. doesn't grow necessarily in the just on 30-day retreats. Our faith really grows in the middle of trial. The whole letter to the Hebrews was meant to be a deeply theological, spiritual pep talk to the early Christians who were facing the second major wave of the 13 of ferocious anti-Christian persecution before the legalization of Christianity. And so the whole letter is saying that the high priest has come. He himself has suffered precisely to lead us children to glory through perfection in our own suffering. And here, the author of the letter of the Hebrews is telling us how God works out that perfection, how he helps his kingdom to come in the midst of trial. Pope Benedict focused on the five hupo words. Sister Pia and Sister Virginia Joy used to be over at visitation when I talk about the Greek a lot. I don't talk about the Greek as much anymore because Sister Hope made it into this lyric. And after, you know, so here we go. But he talks about the five great hupo words, and we'll encounter all five. You endured a great contest, a great trial, a great battle, a great fight of suffering. At times you were publicly exposed to abuse and affliction, mocked, tortured, stripped, humiliated. They suffered it. At other times you associated yourselves with those so treated. You took a real stand to go out into the light with your faith, even though the same thing might happen to you, that you were close to the martyrs. You were confessors, to use the technical term. Even joined in the sufferings of those in prison. And here we get to the first of the five hupos. And joyfully accepted the confiscation of your property, knowing that you had a better and lasting possession. That property is hypokonta. The lasting possession is hyparxin. First two words. We were able to let ourselves be stripped of all material possession, which in the ancient world was your substance, was the base of your life, was your security. It's what you put your faith, hope, and love in, the things of this world. You allowed all the things of this world to be stripped away from you. They confiscated all of your goods, and you joyfully accepted it, knowing that you had a better and lasting hypoxin. What's that? That's the treasure of the faith. That's the pearl of great price. Because you knew that that couldn't be stripped from you. You were able to relativize everything else. And that was the reason why they were able to remain true. Therefore, goes on, do not throw away your confidence. We'll have great recompense. This is hupostasis. This is who you are. This is your substance. Don't throw it away. This relationship that you have with the better and lasting possession that can't be stripped. Let this be your foundation, namely God and your relationship with God. You need endurance. It's one of my favorite words. Hupomone. You need endurance to do the will of God. This is the perseverance that will never, ever, 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 ever quit. And receive what he has promised. We're not among those who draw back and perish. That's hupostoli, the last of the words. This quitting, this frailty, this lack of fight and grit. But we are among those who have faith and will possess life. It's precisely in these most difficult circumstances that the Lord allows our faith to grow, that he waters our faith, he irrigates it not just with water, but with his own very fruitful blood, so that it can really shine in those moments. We're now living at one of those times. Listen, I guarantee you that the church in the United States, almost every diocese is going to go bankrupt. as all of this abuse stuff and all of this evil that was permitted comes to the fore, and the devil conspires to strip away all the hyparchonta of the church. But we still have that hyparxin. We still have that far greater treasure. And when we are stripped, that's the time in which it's going to shine all the more. Because we don't need all of the other stuff. We just really need God. We're going to need, just like the first Christians, this hupomone to persevere. Recognizing that a true substance is a tandem substance. That we live together with the Lord, who is God with us. That we yoke ourselves to Him, and He yokes Himself to us. So that we don't draw back, we don't perish, but rather we are those who have faith and possess life, not just now, but forever, because Christ has come to give us that life. This exhortational letter, the Hebrews, is meant for all of us, still today. So, while we were sleeping at night, even while we were sleeping in the middle of a homily, the Lord can still give growth. That's why, sisters, I always say, don't destroy your prayer life by being so phobic about falling asleep in the chapel. God can still give incredible growth there when we're there, even fatigued. God has given that growth over the course of the night, and here He'll give growth. We know not necessarily how. What He implants inside us even today is meant to become truly strong, so that when these great contests of suffering occur, we can be like those sturdy mustard trees in which so many others can find solace. The salvation of the just comes from the Lord, and the salvation of that Lord comes to the just here on the altar. Praise be Jesus Christ. Amen.